what is weighing, what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of him, beyond the music, beyond the noise.
All that I need is to be with you in the quiet, to hear your voice.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Funny how things
are. Finding myself in loss of words,
and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Can we give them another hand? That's our New Hope Leeward worship team and Holau. That was awesome. So proud of those guys. It's like they're like my kids, but they're all older than me. So it's kind of weird. But we're so glad to be with you. All of us, the worship team, the Holau tonight, our specials are all part of New Hope Leeward. We're the satellite site that meets out at LCC. And we just have a great time with what we do. But this evening, we get a chance to kind of cruise with all of you and to kind of share our hearts with you as well. And so we're continuing in the series that Pastor Wayne started called When. And tonight we're going to talk about when you hit the crossroads of life. Now, Pastor Wayne is in Australia, and he's having a good time down there. And I keep missing him because I just flew in from Atlanta. And Atlanta's kind of a fun place. Have any of you been to Atlanta? Yeah, some of you. Now, Atlanta, a couple observations is they all talk a little bit funny. They kind of got an accent, and they eat things like fried green tomatoes and grits. Have you ever eaten grits? Yeah, oh, really? That's I wouldn't applaud for grits. It's anyways, but it's really strange in Georgia, too. There's lots of Haole people, no Asian people. So our group that went, we were like the only Asians, and so everywhere we went, people would just kind of watch us. And they'd be like, "Oh, Chinatown has just arrived." It was really fun. And the highways there are really confusing. They've got tons of intersections. They've got east, west, north. They don't have Mauka and Makai, so it makes it a little complicated. And so we're driving all over. Last year, we went to the same conference. One of our vans was to drive 5 miles, took the wrong turn a couple times. 3 hours later, they saw a sign that said, "Welcome to South Carolina." Georgia is a funny place. They have some really interesting signage, too, on the road. They had one sign that I thought was kind of cool. They had a sign that said, "Slow drivers keep right." And I thought, we need that in Hawaii. We really need that in Hawaii. They had another sign that said, "Animals on roadway." Now, I'm thinking, animals on roadway. In Hawaii, we call that putting animals in a zoo. But apparently, over there in Georgia, they just kind of let animals run wild. They had another one that said tractor crossing on the major interstate. And I'm thinking, and I'm not a farmer, but I'm thinking, don't tractors have a designated place to go, like a field or something like that? And they had another sign that said, all it said on it was potholes. And we don't have those signs in Hawaii. So we're thinking, what is this trying to communicate to us? Potholes. One of our guys said, oh, I know what potholes are. That's where the people in Georgia grow their pakalolo. But in actuality, the sign is basically telling you there's holes in the roadway. Now, and I'm not a construction expert, and I don't claim to be, but I'm just thinking here, that if they're going to take the money to hire someone to design a sign, and then hire people to go make the sign, and then pay people to go put a hole in the ground to put the sign in, then put concrete and then nice little plants around it, wouldn't you think, now I'm just, you know, no crazy construction person here, but wouldn't it be just as wise to fill the hole in the road? It seems like it'd be pretty basic. But it's nice to be back here in Hawaii. You're laughing really slow. But it's nice to be back in Hawaii, where at least the signage is a little bit more recognizable. But you know, in the journey of our lives, along the path of our lives, there's going to be times in our lives where we're not going to read signs that we're going to recognize. There's going to be, on the journey of our lives, going to be times where we're going to hit crossroads, times in our lives where we're not sure which way to go, and the signs aren't helping us out much. And we're trying to figure out, does God want me to go this way? Does God want me to go that way? Because you see, every single one of us, we're going to have a crossroad in our life at some time. And perhaps some of you tonight are here and you have a crossroad that you're going through. Perhaps it has to do with your finances. You're trying to figure out what to do with your finances. You're at a crossroad. Perhaps it has to do with your job or your career. Maybe you don't know what you're supposed to do in your occupation. You're at a crossroad. Or maybe it has to do with a relationship in your family or friends or in your workplace. You're at a crossroad because you're not sure what to do and which way to go. Well, that's what we're going to explore a little bit today, is what can we do and how can we respond during those times when we hit crossroads in life? So if you take out your notes with me, we're going to explore that for a little while today. And let's start by reading what the Lord says to his people during the prophet Jeremiah's days when they hit the crossroads. It's in your notes, and it's Jeremiah 6:16. You want to read it with me? Here we go. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, when we hit crossroads of our lives, our job is to look for which way God is directing us and which path God wants us to walk on. And when we hit the crossroads in life, our role is to try to figure out, does God want me to go this way or does he want me to go this way? But you may be wondering, so how do we figure it out? How do we figure out which path does God want us to take? Well, if you're filling in your notes, the first thing that we can remember is that we've got to trust that God has a master plan. That God has a master plan. And sometimes, if you're like me, when we hit the crossroads of life, we like to try to take control of things ourselves. We like to try to manage the situation ourselves. But what oftentimes happens is if we start to take control of the crossroad, is sometimes we may end up coming with a plan that is not as ideal as God's plan. The story is told of two guys, and they were in a financial crossroad in their lives, and they were trying to figure out how to get out of financial debt. And so they came up with this great idea. They had heard that in Mexico, there was no bungee jumping service. And so they thought, here's the answer to our problems. We'll start a bungee jumping service in Mexico City. And so they thought, this is great. Now, they've never been to Mexico. They don't speak Spanish. They don't know anything about the culture. But they charge on their credit card all the supplies they need, and then they go down to Mexico City. And in the middle of the city square, they figure, you know what, we're going to build the big tower right here in the center. And so they start building the tower, and as they do, people start showing up, and they start watching this amazing tower being built. People are just watching in awe. Well, the two guys finish the tower, and it's really tall. And they figure, you know what we should do? We should do a demonstration, since they've never seen what a bungee jumping deal is. And so the first guy says to the second guy, why don't you strap me in, and I'll do the demonstration. And so the first guy gets all strapped up. Second guy says, all right, go for it, and I'll catch you on your way back up. So the first guy jumps. The crowd's going wild down in the city square below. And they're all screaming and yelling. And then the first guy, whoosh, goes all the way down. And then he comes right back up. And the second guy's supposed to grab him. But the second guy misses. And so the first guy goes back down again. Whoosh. But he noticed the second guy of the first guy was the first guy had a bunch of bruises on his face and some scars already. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. And so the first guy again is second time, whoosh, all the way back down. Crowd is going nuts. They're having such a good time. Yelling things, screaming things. They can't understand what they're yelling because it's all in Spanish. But the first guy bounces at the end of the cord, comes back up. And the second guy is about to grab him again, but misses again. But notices this time he's got even more funny things happening all over his body. Crowd's going nuts this time. Flies back down, whoosh, all the way down. Crowd's going crazy. This time the guy comes back up, the second guy, focusing this time, grabs the guy, pulls him onto the platform, and this time the guy's got broken arms and legs, and he's looking all funny, and the second guy says to the first guy, is the cord too long? What's wrong? What happened to you? First guy goes, I don't know, but what the heck is a piñata? Some people are still interpreting piñata for their neighbors. But that's what can happen sometimes when we take a plan on our own. It may not be God's ideal. But in life, when we hit the crossroads, we've got to remember that God's got a master plan. And his ways are higher than our ways. He's got a greater plan for our lives than we can ever imagine. And sometimes we hit the crossroads in life because of the consequence of a decision that we made in the past. May not necessarily be God's ideal, but it's a consequence, and so we're hitting a crossroad. Other times we hit crossroads in life because it's part of God's plan for our spiritual journey and our spiritual growth. Regardless of which, we will all hit crossroads at some time in our lives. And when we hit these crossroads, what's really cool is that it doesn't take God by surprise. He doesn't go, uh-oh. I checked it out in my concordance. There's no uh-oh in the Bible, so it's pretty cool. But it doesn't take God by surprise. And the cool thing is with God is that he's in the midst of whatever crossroad we're at. He's in the midst of it, and he has a plan that will take us through it. In fact, let's read what Jeremiah 29:11, one of our cornerstone verses here at New Hope. And it's in your notes. Let's read this reminder. Ready? Let's go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, at the crossroads, our focus should not be on the crossroad, but instead discerning God's plan. You see, at the crossroads, we have choices to make. We have decisions to make. And our decisions sometimes will lead us closer to God's plan and God's will for our lives, or sometimes it'll lead us farther away. It's much like this rubber band. The farther you stretch this rubber band apart, the greater the tension there is in the rubber band. Isn't that true? And the farther and farther you pull it, there comes a likelihood where the rubber band could actually even break. And it's much like our relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes at the crossroads, we make decisions that pulls us farther and farther apart from God's ideal master plan. And as a result, there's tension in our lives. There's stress in our lives. And we get farther and farther away, and sometimes we get to the point where we're jeopardizing our relationship with Christ, and our relationship could possibly break. But see, what's cool is as we move closer and closer to God's master plan is that the tension becomes less. Not only becomes less, but we get closer and closer to God's will, and then we start to rest in the shadow of his wings. And that's what we're supposed to do when we hit the crossroads, is to figure out what is God's master plan and how do we make decisions in such a way that we move closer and closer to God's master plan. Because as we do, what we start to see is that God starts to fill us with a sense of peace. So when we hit the crossroads in life, one of the first things that we've got to do is we've got to remember that God has a master plan. Now, if we know that God has a master plan, you might ask, okay, now how do I discover what that master plan is? How do I figure out what is God's will? Well, check this out. Write this down in your notes. Seek guidance from many sources. Seek guidance from many sources. You see, when we hit the crossroads in life, we must seek guidance from many sources. And in order to determine which direction would lead us in the way God would desire us to go. And if we don't seek good guidance, sometimes we can end up going in the wrong direction. The funny story is told of an older guy, and he was starting to lose his eyesight. And so sometimes in the middle of the night, he would have to get up several times to use the restroom. And his wife was getting a little agitated by this because he would always have to wake her up to kind of show him how to get to the restroom in the house. And so she decided, I got a plan. I will give him specific instructions of how to get to the restroom in our house. And so she tells him, okay, honey, if you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, then just get out of bed, turn left. You go to the end of the bed, turn left again, and you'll get to the bedroom door. Take a right, you'll go down the hallway, and then the first door on the left is the bathroom. And I've installed a light so you can just turn it on. Pretty easy. And so the older guy's like, okay, cool, I can do this, I can do this. And so one morning, the couple wakes up, and the wife says to the husband, dear, did you have to use the restroom last night? Because you didn't have to wake me up. And the husband says, yeah, it was great. I followed your exact instructions of which way to go, and I had no problems. And in fact, thank you so much for installing those automatic lights, because when I go to the restroom, poof, the light automatically comes on. And then when I'm done, poof, the light automatically goes off. That is so cool. And the wife's looking at her husband, and she's getting a little agitated in her voice, and she says, honey, the reason the light goes poof and turns on when you go to the bathroom and poof and then turns off when you're done going to the bathroom is because you're making shishi in the refrigerator again. You'll be happy to know that Pastor Elwin's wife says he's doing much better now. Going to the bathroom. I think Pastor Elwin's in here somewhere, and so I know I'm going to get it later. But the thing is in our lives is that we can get poor directions, can't we? We can get poor counsel in the direction that we want to go and intend to go and our heart wants to go. But because of poor counsel, we might end up going the wrong way. And so the author of Proverbs 3 clues us in as to why it's really important for us to really tune in to what the Lord's plan is and what the Lord's desire is. Now, there's a couple of places where we can get guidance. There's a vertical relationship with the Lord in which we can get guidance, and there's a horizontal relationship with those around us where we can get guidance. But the author of Proverbs gives us a clue as to why it's so much more important to seek the guidance from the Lord, vertical guidance first. Let's read what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Ready? Begin. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Underline that. He will make your paths straight. That is one of the coolest verses. And at first glance, you think, okay, so if I'm trying to find God's will, that means that the street is going to be totally straight, and I'm going to know exactly which way to go. Well, the author intends straight isn't so much that the road is perfectly straight, but instead that straight means that we will be able to discern, see where God is leading us. And seeking guidance from the Lord first allows us to determine which path to walk on. As we trust in the Lord, he will make the path more clear. I was recently taking a trip to visit my auntie in Los Angeles, and she gave me directions to get to her house. And she said, it went something like this. She says, okay, get off the highway, go down a little ways, and you'll see a big tree, turn left. Then go down a little while longer, and then you'll see a big red house, turn right. And then go down the street a few blocks, right past the pickup truck is my house. And I'm thinking, I need better directions than that. This is Los Angeles, not La Ie. And so I decided to rent a car with a GPS system. And it's really cool, these GPS systems. You enter in the address of where you want to go, and then it automatically calculates where you're going to head, and then it starts talking to you and gives you specific directions, one block at a time. Super cool. And if you want to impress a date or your wife or your kids, you can actually change the language to like German or Japanese, and then you look like you're real impressive because you're following along in another language. But the cool thing, dating secrets from Mike. The cool thing with the GPS system is that it speaks and it says, proceed one block, turn right in 1.5 miles. Turn left in 12 miles. So it kind of gives you this really specific direction as to where you're supposed to go. And the cool thing is, if you go the wrong way, it comes back on, recalculates the route, and says, wrong turn. I'm sorry. You're stupid. And sometimes in life, we want a map or a GPS system in our lives that will help us navigate through the crossroads that we encounter. We want that there be a step-by-step instruction of what it is that we're supposed to do. Well, in life, our map, our GPS system, comes from a number of different sources. And so tonight, in the next few moments, I'm going to hit some of the ways in which we can seek guidance from many sources. And the first way we can seek guidance from is God's Word. You can write that in your notes. God's Word. When you hit the crossroads of life, one of the first places to turn to is God's Word. Psalm writes this, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And you know what's really funny is I hear oftentimes a lot of people say, you know, I wish that God would just audibly speak to me. I wish that I could just hear his voice and tell me which way to go. And you know what's really, really cool is that God's Word, the Bible, sounds a lot like God's voice. It's really cool. And so when you start reading God's Word on a consistent basis, you start hearing his voice on a consistent basis. And when we hit the crossroads of life, sometimes God's Word is all we can cling to for guidance and direction. So that's one of the first vertical places we can start, is check with God's Word. Second, if you're at a crossroads in life and you're trying to seek guidance on which way to go, prayer and fasting is another way to seek God's counsel. Philippians tells us to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Many times, if you're at a crossroads, it's going to be through prayer or fasting from some of the necessities of life, such as food, that will make us hungry enough in our souls to really tune in to God's voice and what he's saying in the quietness of our hearts. You see, when we seek God's will in our prayer times, when the peace starts to fill our hearts, that's a confirmation that perhaps that's the direction that God wants us to go. The story is told of a man who was on a strict diet, and he was told by his doctor he could not have glazed donuts, but he loved glazed donuts. And so one day, after several months of doing great on his diet, he wanted to stop by Liliha Bakery because that was his favorite place to get glazed donuts. And so he was at a crossroads. He had his diet, and he had this craving for a glazed donut from Liliha Bakery. And so he gets in his car, and he prays to God. He says, "God, if you want me to have a glazed donut on my way to work, then I pray that you will open up a parking spot right in the front." And so the guy drives that way, drives by Liliha Bakery, and wouldn't you know it, on the 12th time around the block, a parking spot opened up right in front. But sometimes in our prayers, we try to get God to do what we want him to do, don't we? We try to get God to get on our agenda and our will for the future, and we forget that our prayers are meant more to find out what God's plan and God's agenda is all about. A final way in which we can seek guidance is wise counsel. Wise counsel. Let's read together Proverbs 11:14. Are you ready? Here we go. "Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances." You know, I just want to speak to the high schoolers, college students, and some of the young emerging leaders here today. And just for a moment, you're coming from a young emerging leader as well, is that this is one of the greatest things that you can do as you're growing up, is find great wise counsel. And find great wise counsel, high school student, college student, young emerging leader, in the elders that are around you, the mentors that God has placed right around you, your parents, aunties, uncles, pastors. Seek wise counsel from these, because if you seek wise counsel from your peers, they're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Isn't that true? But when you seek wise counsel from mentors and elders, they don't tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what the truth is. The Bible tells us the truth sets us free. And if you're a young, emerging leader, high school student, college student, the future is so bright. But life is too short to make all the mistakes ourselves. And so it's so important as young leaders that we got to figure out how we can get mentorship from those that have gone before us. Two of my greatest counselors are Pastor Wayne and Pastor Owen. I love these guys. They're like my friends. They're also like my mentors. And so I'm able to go to them and ask them for wisdom. They're older than me. They're like half a century old or something. And so, and they're losing their hair, which means they're wiser or just old. But they are so wise in so much of the experience that they've had in life. Yesterday, I was talking to Pastor Owen. I said, Pastor Owen, I need some help on this message. What do you do when you hit the crossroads in life? And he says, oh, Mike, I'll tell you. That's really easy. I'll tell you what I did when I was a judge in my courtroom. I'm like, oh, cool, cool, cool. Let me grab a pen. Let me write this down. This is going to be good. And so he says, this is what I did when I hit the crossroads of life. This is my mentor, you know, my friend. He says, this is what I did. I flipped a coin. And I was thinking, you're so paqué, you don't even flip coins. That's... But all kidding aside, having a wise mentor that's older than you, young leaders, is one of the greatest things that you can do. Because they will save you years of mistakes, save you tons of heartaches, because they've been through some of the crossroads that we are currently going through. Now for all of us, one of the greatest places in which we can get wise counsel are in small groups, Ohana groups, life groups. And New Hope has a DNA that life group structure, small group structure, runs the fabric of all the things that we do. And as Pastor Mark said earlier, we've got a small group training coming up. One of the most awesome things about small groups is you get to do life together with some other believers. And you get to encourage one another, but you also get to hold each other up when you hit the crossroads of life. So, when we hit the crossroads of life, we've got to remember that God has an amazing master plan. Then we've got to seek guidance from many sources around us, God's word, fasting, and prayer, as well as wise counsel, to discern what steps we need to take to move towards God's plan. But it's not enough just to know that God has a plan. It's not enough just to get wise guidance and counsel. The last thing that's very important, and you can write this in, is it's then time to step out in faith. It's time to step out in faith. I remember a time not too long ago that I needed to step out in faith, and it was one of the most crazy things that I had ever done. I went skydiving. How many of you have ever been skydiving? I recommend that you try skydiving sometime because it's the greatest, fastest way to increase your prayer life instantaneously. So we went with this company on the North Shore, and they took us up in their airplane, 2 miles above the earth. From the airplane, I could see Diamond Head and the South Shore on the North Shore. And so we get up at the right altitude, and suddenly they fly open the airplane door, which I thought was bizarre to begin with. Never seen that before. And then they say, Mike, you're first. I'm like, oh, well. So I get up to the edge of the airplane door, and they say, just stand there for a moment and get a feel. So I stand there for a moment, and I see the earth 2 miles beneath me. I see the waves crashing on the shore. And I see the South Shore. I see all of the island from where I'm at. And right about then, I pretty much went bathroom in my pants. And then my instructor, he says, don't worry about it. Just stand there for a little while, get a grasp of what's happening, and when you're ready, go ahead and step out. And with that, he pushed me out of the plane. And you know, sometimes in our lives, every single one of us, when we come to the crossroads in life, we need somebody, a mentor, a friend, to push us to take a step of faith, don't we? Because sometimes we want to stay just where we're at because it's much more comfortable there. But you see, a crossroad is much like going into an intersection at a major roadway. That sitting at an intersection, there may be a red light and you're sitting there. You don't know which direction to turn. You go straight, turn right, turn left. You don't know which way to go, but when that light turns green, you better do something. Otherwise, cars are going to back up, people are going to honk. And if Pastor Wayne's behind you, you never know. He might come up and flip you the bird. I heard that he's done that before. By accident. And so there's times in our lives when we're going to hit the crossroads that we've got to do something. We've got to take a step of faith. And taking a step of faith means a few things. First, what is faith? Check out what Hebrews 11:1 says faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. In other words, the assurance that God has a master plan. And it's the conviction of things not seen. In other words, having confidence that God will walk with us every step of the journey of our lives. But when we hit the crossroads, what exactly does it mean to step out in faith? Well, here's a couple things that it will mean. It means that we will not be fearless. We will not be fearless. I love the picture in the Bible where the Apostle Paul was to speak to the people of the church of Corinth. And he's an eloquent guy. He's brilliant. But he gets up and he just says it flat out. He says this, "I come to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling." And you can just picture the Apostle Paul standing before the people, knees shaking, nervous, and in fear. But he knew he had to step out in faith because somebody needed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people. I remember the first time that Pastor Wayne, about I think 3.5 years ago, he said, "I want you to speak at midweek this week." And it was like Monday, which gave me 2 days' notice. And so for 2 days, I could not eat, and then I developed this nervous twitch in my ocole. So everywhere I went, I had to sit down so that way people didn't think, "Whoa, this guy's really strange. He's got a weird shaking going on." But I was so glad that God gave me an opportunity to step out in faith, even though I still had fear inside of me. Because you see, stepping out in faith is not in absence of fear. It's in spite of fear. And stepping out in fear means that we aren't going to necessarily resolve all of our fear, but in actuality, what it means is that we are going to resolve to keep stepping regardless of what the fear is. Because catch this, and you might want to write this down. What could be and should be for your life and my life will never be if we allow fear to rob us of the opportunity to step out in faith. Let me say that again. What could be and what should be for our lives will never be if we allow fear to rob us of the opportunity to step out in faith. Can you say amen to that? Because that's so true in our lives. There's going to be fear for almost every crossroad that we hit. When we hit those crossroads, whatever the fear is inside of us, fear of being humiliated, fear of not being recognized, fear of failing, whatever the fears are that are inside of us are going to rise to the top. And those fears could end up being a paralyzation of our potential. But you see, the pain of trying and failing is a lot less than the pain of regret. That when it comes time, when we hit the crossroads to step out in faith, take a look at the fear, grab it, and start taking a step of faith. The great thing with God is that He'll direct our steps. And that's the next point. We will not have all the facts. When we step out in faith, we will not often have all the facts. Proverbs 16:9, as I just mentioned, says this, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Oftentimes when we hit the crossroads and God wants us to take a next step, we aren't going to know all the facts. We won't have all the information. But we will sense in our spirit, because of prayer and fasting, that there's a peace of taking a step. We won't have all the facts. But if we just take a step, put a plan in place based on the information that we have, the cool thing about God is that He directs every step. It's a cool thing about God. Final thing about stepping out in faith, it means that we will not oftentimes stay where we are. We will not oftentimes stay where we are. There's so many examples in the Bible of God taking ordinary people just like you and me and assigning them an assignment that causes them to step out in faith to do something absolutely extraordinary. He did that with Moses, a stuttering guy. He says, "Step out in faith, and I'm going to help you rescue 2 million Israelites from Egypt." He said that to Esther, "Step out in faith for such a time as this, a young woman, and I'm going to work through you, and you are going to save the entire Jewish population." He said that to a guy named Peter, a guy who probably didn't have any clue how to swim. He didn't have any of those little fin things to help him float. But God said, "Step out of the boat," and he stepped out of the boat, and he walked on water. You see, sometimes when we hit crossroads in life, God will have us stay where we're at for a short season. Because perhaps in that season, He's asking us to seek guidance from the Word, from prayer, from fasting, and from wise counsel. But more oftentimes than not, when we get going, we start growing. And really, that's what God is all about. In the times of crossroads, when we start moving, God grows us into the potential and the dream and the plan that He has for our lives. It was exactly a year ago that Pastor Wayne pulled me aside and he said, "Mike, I want you to consider starting the New Hope Leeward satellite site." And at that time, I was the pastor at Extreme, and we had several hundred passionate Gen Xers, and we had so much dreams for the future and such an exciting plan. But Pastor Wayne said, you know, I think it's time for you to step up and step out in faith and to do a new work. And at that time, we had never done a satellite site, so we didn't know what that meant. We didn't know what it entailed. We didn't know what it would come about. And so I said, well, okay, Pastor Wayne, I'll pray about it. And so after several weeks of contemplating and seeking guidance from many sources, I started to sense in my heart that maybe this could be an option. At the time, I lived in Kaimuki, and I never drove to the leeward side of Oahu. I didn't know anybody who lived on the leeward side. I didn't even know how to spell leeward. But deep in my heart, I just got the sense that God was saying, during my times in the Word, in prayer and fasting, and counsel from a number of great mentors, that maybe this is what God's master plan for my life is to take a step of faith. And so, after much contemplation, exactly a year ago this month, I grabbed a few friends, Marcus and Kimo and Ivy and Iman and Rochelle and Matt, and we said, you know what, we're going to give this a shot, and we're going to get started. And we got started with some leadership trainings, and then we got started on a Sunday service, and there was more of us putting on the production on Sunday morning than there were sitting in the seats. It was really funny. And when our parents came, it doubled the size of our congregation, so it was really cool. But then we were faithful, and we kept on doing what God had asked us to do, to keep stepping out in faith, because I started to see that God has this master plan to reach every single person for Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. It's this really cool plan that he has. And then I started seeing that that plan transposes or translates into the leeward side of Oahu, and God wants to reach them all. And so we kept being faithful. And this month is now October, and we've just finished 9 months of doing Sunday services, and tons of ministries have started, surf ministries, lots of life groups, mission trips are being planned. It's become this mega force in the leeward community in just 9 months. And over 1,500 people come on Sunday mornings, a lot of them brand new believers receiving Christ for the first time. Wow, that's all God. But because it's growing, we hit another crossroad, and I was like, God, we can't add any more services. My staff's going to kill me. And we can't, what are we going to do with all these ministries and all these things? And so I got on my knees again. I said, God, give me a word. Tell me what your direction is. Where do you want me to go with these people? And on my knees in the word, God said these words. He said, be faithful. And I thought, God, be faithful. I want a good word, like ask and you shall receive, or I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, I was looking for a big, inspiring, huge word, but all God gave me was be faithful. And so I went back into our staff and I said, you know, I know we're crowded, I know it's tight, but we just got to be faithful. God's doing something. And so we were faithful. And for some weird reason, about a month and a half ago, God connected us with the owner of the Waipahu Shopping Center. And at the time, we were thinking, okay, let's just get a small space on the leeward side for an office, a leeward ministry center where we can start doing a twin site for New Hope, as well as maybe we could do a small download off the LCC site. And so the business owner owns a big part, owns the whole mall, and we were looking at this old Safeway building that's been vacant for a couple years. And I thought, oh, okay, well, we can get a little space in the back corner, you know, that's cheap space, and we'll just get a few hundred square feet, and it'll be great. So I started praying over the building and driving home at night. I'd be there looking at standing at the doorways, looking in the windows and praying. And I know the people that are at the mall, they're looking at me day after day just going, does this guy realize Safeway ain't opening anytime soon? And so we kept praying. And then God started impressing upon my heart this big, huge plan. And then he started impressing my heart, how cool would it be to have a church in the middle of a retail shopping center? How cool would it be to have a church at the corner of Fort Weaver Road and H1, where hundreds of thousands of people drive by every day? How cool would it be to have a church where they're projecting 10,000 new homes to be built in the next 5 years? How cool would it be? And then I felt God say, go back to the business owner, tell him you don't want a few hundred square feet, you want the whole building. I went, God, wow. All right. And so I went back to the business owner, and at that time I didn't even tell our staff because I thought they were thinking, wow, Mike, just keep smoking what you're smoking because that's... And so we got to the business owner and we said, you know, this is kind of what we feel like God's impressed on our hearts. And we want to take your retail shopping center, and we want to turn it into a spiritual force on the leeward side of Oahu. And I thought his eyes would glaze over and go, right. Well, I wish I was there at the Leeward campus to tell the Leeward family this in person, but as of yesterday afternoon, right around 5 o'clock, Foursquare International and the owner of the Waipahu Town Center and ourselves, we came to an agreement, and we're taking the building. We're moving on. And I don't know what the future holds. I'm a little bit afraid of what the future holds, to be honest with you. Pastor Wayne said to me before he left to Australia, he said, Mike, 10 years is how long you're signing this contract for. And I said, wow, that's a long time. I've only been at New Hope on staff for 4 years, haven't even been a Christian for 10 years. And Pastor Wayne says, well, I guess you're sticking around for a while. I said, I guess I'm sticking around for a while. But what's super exciting, you don't have to apply for that. It's just God said, I'm sticking around for a while. But what's super neat is that when you hit the crossroads of life, where I did, and I had to decide whether to leave these great friends that we had established at Extreme, to step out in faith to try something brand new, God will take crossroads and turn them into incredible blessings if we're faithful. If we're faithful to remember that God has this master plan that's greater than where we are right now, and it's a plan that's higher than our ways, and it's a plan that starts out, and this is the really cool thing, not with this huge amount of faith, but it starts off with just a little bit of faith. When we hit the crossroads, God wants to do something God-sized, a God-sized blessing. And it doesn't take this monumental amount of faith. I know, because I live my life. And I know that I don't have as much faith as it's going to take to pull this thing off. But God's going to show up in a God-sized way because I have faith the size of a mustard seed. God wants to show up in God-sized ways at the crossroads because God wants to do something incredible. And it only starts with us having faith the size of a mustard seed. I want to encourage you today, whatever crossroad that you're at in life, remember that God wants to do something incredible. But it starts off with us having the faith of a mustard seed. In your bulletins, you got a little Ziploc bag. And inside that bag, you see a stick and a seed. I want to encourage you right now, and I invite you to do this. You don't have to do this. If you'd pull out that stick from that Ziploc bag, you can pull out the stick, and I want to invite you to grab your pen as well. And you don't have to do this. You can take the stick and slap your neighbor or put it in your ear, whatever you want to do. But I want to invite you, if you would, if you feel like you're at a crossroad in life right now, as many of us are, whatever that is in your finances, in your relationships, in your faith, in your walk with God, whatever that crossroad is, all it takes is the faith the size of a mustard seed for God to show up in a powerful way. And you know what's really cool? Jesus said this. He says, faith with the size of the mustard seed, guess what you can do? You can move mountains, and nothing will be impossible for you. So on your stick, on one side of the stick, we're going to give you a few moments to just process with the Lord what the crossroad is that you're at. And on one side of the stick, would you just write what crossroad you're at? No one's going to see it except you. You're not going to hand it in. But just write what crossroad you are at in life. And then on the back side of that stick, would you, in a time with God, before you leave today, write down just what that one step may be that God wants you to take in the midst of this crossroad that will lead you greater and greater into His plan for your life? Because you see, when God says go, if we take a step of faith and we have faith the size of a mustard seed, He will do the impossible. So on one side, would you write down what crossroad you're facing right now? And on the back side, write down what step of faith you feel God wants you to take in this crossroad that will move you in the direction of God's master plan. We're going to give you a few minutes to process that, and then we'll close. But if you'd allow me to, let me pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And God, thank you so much for this ohana here at New Hope. And thank you so much that as a family, we get to hit these crossroads together, that we aren't alone, We get a family here at the church, but most of all, we get you, because you say that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. But God, in the midst of our lives and our journey, we sometimes hit these crossroads where the signage is unclear and we don't know which way to go. But God, we know that you are standing in the midst of that crossroad, ready to guide us. And today, God, we are here and we're in a place where many of us are at a crossroads in some aspect of our lives. And we're trying to discern what your will is for our lives. And so, God, would you help us to seek godly counsel through your word and prayer and fasting and others around us? And in this moment of personal processing, God, would you allow us to, as a step of action, as a step of faith, to write down what crossroad we are at in life on one side of our stick? And the other side, would you right now, in this moment, speak to us in our hearts what step of action you want us to take, step of faith, in this crossroad that will lead us to move mountains, to be able to accomplish what may be impossible to us, but truly possible with Jesus Christ walking with us. God, we want to do what you say. We want to go where you tell us to go. And so, God, in this moment of processing, help us to see what you want us to do.
Stand with us as we close today. Wherever he calls us, we will go. Can you say amen? Amen. If you'd bow your heads with me, let's close together in prayer. And I'm going to encourage you on your little stick. If you wrote on it, perhaps use this as your Bible bookmark. And be faithful to seeking counsel through God's word, with prayer, with fasting and wise counsel. And I'm willing to bet God's going to walk you through that crossroad in an amazing way. And you will see a blessing where you currently see a crossroad. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And God, indeed, we are so thankful that you are a God that takes us through crossroads in a way that we're victorious, in a way that we move closer and closer to the plan that you have for our lives. And for many of us in this room today, there are crossroads that we are encountering. There are these decision points, these crisis points in which we're trying to figure out which way you want us to go. In fact, with eyes closed, if you're here, you're a Christian and you love Jesus with all your heart, but you're facing a crossroad right this moment in your life, I want to just say a special prayer for you because God is on your side. I want you just to, with eyes closed, just slip your hand up for just a moment. If you're a believer, you love Jesus, and you're just at a crossroad in your life, and you're just saying, God, I need a special anointing from you, and I need your wisdom and your counsel and your guidance in order for me to see how I can go. Lord, you see almost all of our hands in the air in this room right this moment. Lord, these are our hearts. These are people who love you with all their hearts, and they're just simply saying they're facing a crossroad. And for some of us, it's a result of a decision we made in the past, and Lord, we're just trying to walk through that decision. And for some of us, God, this crossroad is exactly where you want us to be in preparation for where you're taking us tomorrow. Nevertheless, every single one of us, we're in a crossroad. And so, God, as our hands are extended, God, would you just tap us with your love? Would you just pour your grace upon us? Would you reassure us that you will walk with us and not leave us? That you will guide us, that you will direct us, that you will walk every step one by one with us? Go and put your hands down. Your eyes continue to be closed. Perhaps there's some of you here that have not yet had an opportunity to do the most important thing at a crossroad, and that is to acknowledge Jesus Christ in your life. Perhaps you're here and you haven't had an opportunity to say first, I want to have faith the size of a mustard seed. You see, being a Christian doesn't mean we have this monumental amount of faith. It doesn't mean our life is perfect. It simply says that with a little bit of faith, we say we love Jesus and we love God's plan for our lives. And if you're here tonight and you haven't had an opportunity to make that decision for Jesus Christ, or it's been a while and you need to come back to the cross tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus in your heart, to take the greatest step of faith that you can, and that's an eternal decision, and that's a decision to receive Jesus Christ right this moment. And you can sense God's work in your heart right now, and what he's saying is that it's time to take a step of faith. Just have faith the size of a mustard seed. He will meet you in your heart. And then he will allow you to see a plan for your life greater than you've ever seen. And he will allow you to do the impossible with just a little bit of faith. With eyes closed, if that's you and you say, I need to make that commitment to Christ tonight, would you just slip your hands up with eyes closed? Just put your hands up in the air and don't be shy. Eyes are closed. Just keep them in the air for a moment. Keep in the air so the Lord can see your heart. God, you see these hands in the air right now. And God, these are hearts that with a little bit of faith, they're reaching out to you and they're saying, God, meet them. And so, God, we pray for an overflow of your love upon their lives, a protection over their lives, that you would guide their every step. And right now in this crossroad, they're making a decision for Jesus Christ. And God, for every other decision after this, every other crossroad, may you meet them at that crossroad and guide them through it. Go and put your hands down. And if you would, just repeat this closing prayer after me. I'm going to say the words just put in the heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your plan for our lives. We trust in you. We trust in your ways. And we will follow wherever you lead. Indeed, Lord, that's our heart. We will follow wherever you lead us. God, we want to go where you tell us to go. And when we hit the crossroads, we're going to be listening to your voice. God, guide us, lead us. We will follow Lord, we want to see you lifted high. We want to honor you. We love you tonight in Jesus Christ's name. And all of God's people say, amen, amen, amen. If you raise your hand for the first time to receive Christ as your personal Savior, then stop by outside. We have a yes packet. We want to give you a free Bible and to get you started on your journey with the Lord. Let's give a hand to those who receive Christ for the first time tonight.
We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know that He is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know that He is the way to heaven. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high.
Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening in the Lord. Enjoy some fellowship. Take care.
We want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high.